You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Thursday morning to you. McNamara in. Your correspondent for a window into the truth. The always elusive truth. It really doesn't seem to matter anymore. So, things go through my head, right? Senators now require security.
What?
Yeah. So, what's next? Well, I'll tell you what's next. Somebody's going to get killed. And here's the stupidest part of all that. Do you think that will change anybody's behavior? The answer to that will be no. None of it matters. Yeah. What makes anybody hit the brakes? Answer, nothing. Why, Mac? Why don't you think that some event would cause us to pump the brakes? Whose interest is it in to pump the brakes? Some altruistic idea of what thoughtful discourse? Some kind of idea of an exchange of ideas in a forum where people acted with respect, as I call it, articulate discourse, articulate dissent, articulate discussion. That? Whose interest is that in? Until somebody can make a buck off it, until a news network joins the fold that presents that and has people watching and listening, it's in nobody's interest, right? So if you're a TV executive, if you're a news publisher, what are you looking for today? Come on, we set a record yesterday. We got to keep this ball up in the air. We need new angles. We need new stories. We need a different slant. All right, keep this thing up in the air. This is going to be incredible. Right, it's driving numbers. So it goes. But I think, and it was when you saw Maxine Waters telling protesters to go after them. Okay. Now, probably the more intelligent among the protesters gets that. But in the last 24 hours, there's been an arrest in northern Utah, city of Logan, of a 39-year-old former Navy fireman, damage control guy, something like that. And he's the dude that sent, it wasn't even ricin. It was something that could have been converted to ricin. Okay, ricin is not a sniff it and tip over. It is a, you need a fair amount of that to do harm to somebody. So, obviously the dude is an idiot, right? Well, I shouldn't say idiot. He is, he's got some kind of mental health issue. Okay? He is around the bend. Okay, the second one is a former lawyer, trial lawyer in South Carolina, who shot 7 police officers yesterday. And so that crew, when they hear Maxine Waters, just like the dude who showed up at baseball practice, a year ago and shot Steve Scalise and other officers from the Capitol Police. So, anyway, you see this thing that has no bounds to it, and it's just I don't know. I mean, to me, it's pretty amazing. And then you ask, okay, so what are the forces that drive it? And one of the forces that drives it is the media. Now, other people will say, well, the president. I'll tell you this: the president, I think, looked at what Sarah Palin tapped into, and he saw that, and he's leveraged that. He plays the game that the media plays, probably better than they play it. And that is, don't ever back away from it. Burn it down. And then on to the next issue. So, watching all of this, it's pretty, I'm beyond being disconcerted or anything like that about it. You know, I constantly ask myself, well, how does this change? How does this change? And the answer is that it won't. But I will tell you this, we're 24 hours relative to the end of the show yesterday. That's inaccurate. 23 hours and 22 hours and 51 minutes closer to some either congressman or senator being shot and killed by some crazy person who sits and watches one of our 24-hour news channels and has their own mental health issues, right? The guy in South Carolina, right? I'll read you the headline. Florence suspect, Florence, South Carolina, accused of shooting deputies. Investigating sex assault of a child. One suspect is in custody and a Florence police officer is deceased after 8 people, 7 of which were law enforcement officers, were shot in Florence on Wednesday. The Associated Press reports that Wednesday night officers were trying to serve a warrant involving an accusation that a 27-year-old person in the home sexually assaulted a foster child in the home. Florence County Coroner Keith Von Lucan identified the officer who died as Terrence Caraway, 52 years old. of Darlington. He was pronounced dead at the local hospital, and an autopsy will be conducted. According to the chief deputy, Glenn Kirby, with the Florence County Sheriff's Office, the suspect surrendered to deputies after talking with a negotiator and was taken to the hospital for treatment. Kirby also said a 20-year-old male inside the home was also shot but is still alive. Florence County Sheriff's Department spokesman Major Mike Nunn said the suspect held children hostage during a two-hour standoff, but they were not harmed. Not sure how that many deputies get shot. But again, so those people, when they hear people like Maxine Waters, at some point, it's going to go terribly, terribly wrong. Just like this, whoever this guy who sent the ricin is. I mean, he's a nut. He's a nut. So anyway, I think it's pretty pathetic. I think our country's pretty pathetic. Man, I don't know how do decent people take it back? Because only the people that scream the loudest and are the most shrill get heard. How do decent people, respectful people, how do they take it back? So, anyway, and this is just the latest, the Kavanaugh thing is just the latest incident that inflames the nation. Okay, so, anyway, good morning to you here on a Thursday morning. I want to read, I got a couple emails I want to read, and it's always interesting after we do battle studies. They're so incredible. And the story of India 3-9 on 30 March 1967 is an incredible story. I'd never heard the story, right? I've heard of Lieutenant Bobo, but I never heard the story of, you know, other than. And you get Lieutenant Bobo confused with Lieutenant Graves, who did Terrence Graves. He's with 3rd Reconnaissance Battalion, maybe 3rd Force, I'm not sure. So the Chow Hall at OCS is named after Lieutenant Bobo. There's a hall, a theater called Graves Hall. Is that what it is at the basic school? Just so I don't disrespect anybody. Graves Hall at the basic school is a... He was a 3rd Reconnaissance Battalion. The old Graves Hall, they tore down. And then they rededicated one of the new barracks at the basic school. Basic school, I mean, you know, incredible new construction and beautiful. It looks awesome. But Terrence Graves, he was a reconnaissance team platoon commander. They're out on a mission. He's wounded, and I think shot through the leg. And with most of his leg blown off, he jams it into the mud of the dike of a rice paddy, has an M60, and he begins to cover the withdrawal of his team to a helicopter and is killed. Lieutenant Bobo is actually providing security for his machine gunners and a rocket team on the left flank of Jack Riley's squad when either an RPG or mortar hits and blows off the majority of his right leg, I think it is. They tourniquet it, and he tells the doc, prop me up against a tree and get out of here. The doc says no. Lieutenant Bobo's killed. The doc is wounded when somebody pops up, an NVA soldier pops up and shoots both of them. So kind of get them confused. But it's always interesting to the email you get and the reactions you get when you can tell the story, you know, over the course of 2 hours or so, 3 hours in this case. And in my opinion, take the time to develop who Jack Riley was, you know, and one of the coolest parts of the story is how Jack Riley obviously is a leader, even as a young guy. When he goes to boot camp, he's a leader. He thinks like a leader. And, you know, how he, in spite of the cultural differences, right, this is the 1960s in a segregated Alabama. His senior drill instructor is a black Marine, a gunnery sergeant by the name of Elliot, who gets killed the week before Corporal Riley gets to Compiègne. And he's killed at Compiègne. Gunny Elliott is killed. Anyway, so to hear him talk about him. And think about this. This isn't the day of no email, right? He stayed in touch with him. They wrote letters, for God's sakes. Yeah, how about that? So you hear, and then he talks about the first sergeants. And it's, you know, you hear Mike Musselman talk about, you know, first sergeants now are like, oh, are you okay? Put your head on my shoulder. You know, he talks about his first sergeants as they were good men, but you knew that if you crossed the line with them, they were going to let you have it. You know, they didn't sound like these motherly figures that were mollycoddling people that Mike kind of depicts when he ridicules them. So that's one of the things that strikes you, is that Jack Riley from the get-go is looks through life from the prism of a leader. When we have him back on and do the rest of the story, like Oprah, I think that's funny, honestly. I want to ask him about that, because that group began holding reunions years ago, and they get together every other year. And you know, we talk about in post-traumatic winning, there's a couple key concepts, right? One of them is the power of dislocation. Okay, when you're dislocated from the tribe, that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. And we all know it, right? One of the worst things that can ever happen to us as recruits or as officer candidates is for them to take you and make you stand over there. Go stand over there. What? Go stand over there by yourself. No, not that. Right? It's like when your parents won't talk to you. Just go to your room. I don't want to talk to you. Come on, spank me. Let me have it. But don't do that to me. Don't shun me. And so, again, Jack Riley, you know, he organizes, one of the organizers of this group that can only communicate through letters and hardline phones and not nearly as easy as it is today. And then I'm going to play a little audio I'm going to play a little audio for you from yesterday when we start talking about mental health effects of that. So the power of dislocation, you know, is hugely powerful in terms of mental health, right? The picture you'd like to paint is you come back to a tribe that welcomes you home after you've been away as a warrior. Okay. What happens when you don't stay connected, you get dislocated from your tribe that you identify with, which is the warrior tribe, and you come home to a tribe that doesn't really understand you and you don't really identify with? So it's not really your tribe, it's where you're living, but I'm not part of this tribe. I'm dislocated, I'm alone. Right. You can see that's not exactly what we want to, that's not exactly the optimum situation. So, anyway, I'll read you an email here from a guy that I served with. The title of the email is called Getland's Quarter. Holy, and with a lot of E's, and then a lot of symbols. The way before we wrote profanity publicly, and it became acceptable. We used to abbreviate it like number sign, percentage mark, dollar sign, up arrow, and an symbol. We used to represent it like that, right? Everybody remember that back in the day? Brother, fantastic radio, buddy. Corporal Riley's narration was so captivating. I'm in awe and blown away by the story. And two, he and Duffy White, who's from Tennessee, could be brothers, sound alike, down to the self-effacing references. Every Marine should listen to him. I would have been honored to work with him. Could you imagine if he was your platoon sergeant? What a mentor he would have been. Jeez, I'm blown away. Jeff. And I had other people call me yesterday and said, whoa. I was going to listen to a little bit of it, but once I started, I sat there and listened to the whole thing. You're screwing up my workday. I said, it's not me, it's Riley. I just had him on. And so, but, you know, you see guys like Jack Riley. He's not only a leader in Vietnam. He comes home and he continues to lead to include making sure that Doc Brown gets a Navy Cross 38 years later. Yeah, and what a great event that was. He talked in the interview about reconnecting, you know, and as these guys found each other after the war, and not knowing if they were even alive, right? The last time they saw each other was in Vietnam. You left. Wasn't no internet. How did you track that guy down? Oh, Doc, Ron. Let's see. And it'd be interesting to know how he tracked him down. Did he just dial information in Doc's old city and find somebody with that name? Right? Back in a day when we had information, 411? Right? Before it was automated, you talked to the operator. Operator, I'm looking for somebody with the last name of... I've got a Michael McNamara. Oh, I'll take that one. That's close enough. Track him down that way. Or... Did they wait till the internet got invented? And when did the internet get invented, now that I think about it? When did all this stuff go online? When did Al Gore fire that thing up? How about an internet timeline? Timeline, Internet Hall of Fame. Here's a picture. World Wide Web. 1960. I don't want to. I'm not going to say that. 1998. AOL. Lycos. Yahoo. Netscape. Amazon. Internet. World Wide Web premieres in 1990. Yahoo. Amazon. 1993. Lycos, eBay, same year. Java, AOL, 1995. Google, 1998. MySpace, Napster, 1999. You remember all those, 2000. iTunes. I don't know. I know this symbol, but I don't know. I can't. I don't know. Maybe the internet helped link all the rest of them up. So again, it's always humbling after we do these battle studies to hear the thoughts of people that read them. So my thanks to them for even saying this. But I want to play, before we even open the show today, I want to play a part of the interview from yesterday. And give me 1 second to pull it up. But it is Jack Riley's talking about life after Vietnam. And I'm going to start it with a little bit of room. All right. So this is him talking about life after Vietnam, and what would that hold?
It takes guts to know that you got a machine gun 30 yards in front of you.
He's talking about the Marines that they were in a fight, and he was in some kind of structure, concrete structure. It got hit, right? It fell on him, and there was a machine gun 30 yards in front of him. Okay, and so he's talking about, you know, how humbling it was to be with those kind of Marines, those kind of men. And here's the thing about it. They were so much younger than Marines are today, right? Corporals that are in their mid, you know, that are 22, 23. The corporals in Vietnam were 19. They were squad leaders. Yeah. You look at the pictures, if you go, and I would encourage you, if you haven't looked at the post from yesterday, look at it. Don't just listen to the audio on iTunes or however you source the audio. Go to the website and go to the podcast page, the Battlefield Studies page. You'll find them both. And then look on part two. There's more things in part two than I've ever put in any of these, because Jack has a lot of stuff, and I thought it was important to put it in there. One, you'll see a picture of Lieutenant Bobo, not a Marine Corps in his barracks cover in a pose, him with his Marines smoking cigarettes, him with little kids. So he becomes a human being, right? John Bobo. You see Captain Mike Getlin with his handlebar mustache and a cigarette. You see First Sergeant Rogers with his blouse unbuttoned and an M79 grenade launcher. You see Doc Braun in boot camp. You see a corporal by the name of Laurinaitis. And he looks like a criminal. And I think he half was. But they all are recipients of the Navy Cross. So you see these pictures of them. You'll also see pictures. There's a document attached of pictures of every Marine and sailor that was killed in that fight, starting with Captain Mike Getlin and the FAC, Captain Barney Pappas, Lieutenant Bobo, and then Jack included pictures. And it's pictures of them aboard ships, right, goofing off. And you look at how... look at how young they are. You know, and enlisted Marines always look young. Right? Vietnam, though, I didn't really realize how young we were in Vietnam until I interviewed Ken Rogers during Bravo. And you look and, you know, some of these guys, they dropped out of high school, enlisted at the age of 17, they're in Vietnam, you know, after they just turned 18. They get promoted, they're squad leaders at the age of 19 and towards the tail end of their tour in Vietnam. Yeah, are you kidding me? Has he been to squad leader school? No, he hasn't. So he's talking about that. So, but then he talks about the aftermath and what would you be after this experience. And that's what I want you to listen to.
And you're willing to stand up and expose yourself, digging three Marines out from under, you know, 50, 60-pound stones. But that's what my guys were doing. And you know, what can you ever say? You think, well, thank you's not enough. To me, I've told many Marines this up at the Semper Fi Odyssey that General Jones runs, so... That once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness. Do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
How awesome is that? Yeah, where do we get such men? We get them from all over the country. And that's why the Marine Corps is such an intoxicating place. You get to be around guys like that. They inspire you. Just as my buddy Jeff says, can you imagine that guy? You know, you being able to work with that guy? Pretty motivating. Pretty motivating. And I love that. Right? Once you're out of the Corps, right, it's our responsibility to live in a way that reflects honor upon them and show that we care about our communities. So that's the whole winning part. That's the whole winning part. That is post-traumatic winning. It's not just coexistence with what happened to you. It is continuing to live a purpose-driven life, giving back, and in that giving back, you find those Grinch moments. So, anyway, we probably ought to commence the program. So, good morning to you. Happy Thursday. United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. Get dedicated once again to Jack Riley, who lives in Gadsden, Alabama, for reaching out and sharing with us the story of the Marines that fought on Hill 70. Butch Neal had shared the story of the larger story of the company, but yesterday kind of a high-definition trip through what happened on Hill 70. And the courage and selflessness of a lot of young Americans, a lot of young American Marines there who fought and were wounded, who fought and died there, and their story. So this is dedicated to him.
Our flag shall grow. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds, and win. You got to win.
All right. Time to check the weather in Marineland today. Take a break. Come back. Check news headlines. Currently, cloudy and 74 in Quantico, Virginia. Mostly sunny with a few clouds at Camp Lejeune and a temperature of 82 today. Granbury, Texas warmed up a little bit. Mostly sunny and 79 right now. Montana got colder. Yeah. Clouds and 34 degrees right now in Montana. 29 Palms got colder. Sunny and 62. You, yeah. Pendleton. Clouds in 65. Okinawa's got 5 weather warnings. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Time to investigate. Weather alert. Raining, cloudy, dark, and 78 degrees. Alright, here's your warnings for Okinawa. Because we cover 3MF like nobody covers 3MF. How about that? High wave warning. Windstorm warning, heavy rainfall advisory, thunderstorm advisory, and a flood advisory. So, Okinawa, getting it. Marja. Cool. Clear. Dark. Evening style dark. And 77 degrees. In South Central Afghanistan. The home of the Task Force Southwest. Cloudy and 66 in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of the United States. Going to report card night at high school tonight. Yeah, that'll be interesting. What do you do at report card night? You embarrass your kid every chance you get. That's right. That's the way that works. Oh, why would you want? Because that's the way you do it. Currently, it is 74 degrees. Look for a high of 74 today here in Southern California. Tomorrow, 72. Saturday, 72. Boom. That's exactly how we draw that up, okay? Exactly. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll check some weather. We'll check news headlines. As we get going here on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Colleen knows she's going to get embarrassed tonight, too. Yeah, she straight up knows it. We're going to go there.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter...
And don't even look at me and roll your eyes, okay?
Letting go of all...
It's the best part of it. right? Dad, Colleen, don't even start, okay? Just get ready.
I want to drive fast till I break down in nowhere so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream.
Peyton Davis, you can find her on iTunes. Her sister sings the harmonies on this. I thought she did. You know how they lay tracks down and all that? If you don't know, I'm a harmony guy. Yep, winning. Yeah, Colleen's straight up going to get embarrassed. Yeah. I said, if you don't have fun with your kids, right? If you worry, let me tell you, this is a, let me get serious here for a second, all right? Everybody pay attention. I listened to Jack Riley yesterday, and I've listened to that interview maybe three or four times now. As I recorded it, as I edited it, as it played, and one other time. So probably four times. The difference in the world that Jack Riley grew up in was he was not at the center of the universe, right? He was not asked every time something happened, right? How does that make you feel, right? He grew up in with the structure of going to church with his family, right? And when something happened, right, there was a number of components in our concern. One, how does that make our family look was one of them. Okay. Two, are you okay? I think it's disabilitating to young people when the entire universe rotates around their feelings. What do you raise? You raise a bunch of dysfunctional pussies. Right? We've lost a balance, in my opinion, of how we raise our kids. Right? You can't make fun of them, blah, blah, blah. Are you kidding me? You can't make fun of your kids? You can't go to school and humiliate them and embarrass them? Come on. That's all the fun. You know, it's a good thing when Colleen says, I get nervous when dad comes to my games, right? Like, I served really good and then dad walked in and I got nervous. That's good. Because she knows there's an expectation for her performance, right? Just go out, as long as you tried hard, that's all that counts. No, it's not. That's not how life is. Life doesn't give a shit how hard you try. At some point, you got to put up a number. But in the world of, you know, as long as you tried and as long as you feel good about yourself, then that's all bullshit, man. You are not preparing your kids for life. That sounds great, right? on some television show about how you feel better about yourself, but that is not the real world. Okay? That is not the real world. So your kids should be frank with them. Like when Colleen's playing sports, if she stunk, you should say that you weren't very good today. You need to work harder. Okay. So it's not this criticism that they suck. It's you're linking it to hard work and you're constantly reinforcing that link, which our parents gave to us, which is if you work harder, good things are going to happen. Right. The harder I work, the luckier I get. Right, all these things that we have in our heads. Who gave those things to us? Our parents, our coaches. There was no standard. As long as you tried hard, it's okay. There was no, you know, awards for showing up. You were expected to show up. We are creating dysfunctional human beings that aren't ready for the rough and tumble of the world around them. So if we think mental health issues are bad now, Oh, my God. I had a thought go through my head, and I had to write it down. It occurred to me yesterday. And we'll come back to it after I do the news. But I want to talk about something today. And that is, I never thought that I would watch American news and say, we've become like Iraq. But I had that experience. And I want to talk about that. Okay? I want to talk about it. It has to do with the Jeff Flake video. Where he's caught in an elevator. I want to talk about that a little bit of choreography. So in terms of parenting, and I get on Alex Hollings, my daughter, dude, stop projecting your feelings into your daughter. Make sure she knows what no means. That's your job. No means no. You don't get that one right, gonna be hell to pay. Okay, you're gonna have an asshole kid. And let me tell you, I'm blown away. If your kid doesn't understand no, right, then what? You're gonna send them to school? So I look and like, if you say you love your kids, there's certain things you have to do with them. One, teach them what no means. Two, teach them how to swim. Okay. And then prepare them for life. Give them the skills that they need to be successful. And when I hear Jack Riley, you hear it. You hear it. And it echoes through the whole interview. And then it has implications for post-traumatic winning. Right? The key to post-traumatic winning is you use your experience to help others. That's how you win. That converts coexisting into winning. Right? If it's only about me, then I've got to learn how to coexist. What happens if it's not only about me? What happens if it's about my community, my country, and anybody that I can help? What happens if that's what it's about? What happens if all the greater things come from outside of me? What? Yeah, oh shit. Oh shit. What happens if all that's true? And what should be the most important thing isn't your feelings, right? We can get to them down the list. How did that make you feel, pumpkin? We can get to that. But what happens if, right, who you are, what you stand for, how you impact others are all up there in 1A, 1B, 1B, 1C, 1D, and maybe 2 is your feelings, okay? What happens if there's a whole lot of other things that go into life and living a good life other than just your feelings? I think that's a fact, and Jack Riley's an example of it. And if you ask him, well, what about your feelings? Well, hell, Mac, if you want to know my feelings, I could tell you about them. But you know what? I got to do some other things that are more important than my feelings. I can hear him say it. Right? I can't do his voice well enough, but I could hear him saying that. But you watch the way kids get raised today? It's bullshit. It's bullshit. I remember talking about this years ago, and a guy wrote me an email, and he said, and I blamed it on grandparents. I said, all you grandparents, it's your fault, because your kids are raising the kids. Your kids are reading books about raising kids. You need to sit down with your kid, and you need to tell your kid that they're screwing their kid up. Guy writes me an email. You don't know how right you are. I took my son to task over the weekend. Last week, my wife and I, Grandma, went to see my son and his family. My grandson, who's 4 years old, took a swing at my wife, tried to slap her across the face. She grabbed his hand, but I was incensed that my grandson, at the age of 4, would think that slapping his grandmother across the face was an okay thing to do. And I let my son have it. He said, I completely agree with you. All this bullshit about the way kids get raised, blah, blah, blah. I have a friend who talks about life without consequences. Greg Lotus. Life without consequences. How does that work? When you're not held accountable, I mean, think about that. When your feelings are the most important things going on, you're creating dysfunctional people. And the challenge for the Marine Corps is, and that's why you see the extra 2 weeks on the back end of boot camp, is, all right, we can put them in Disneyland, which is our boot camp, right? And we can run that event. Now we have to excrete them back into, you know, the world where they will be our operating forces. They will go back to their high school friends and whatnot. How do we balance what we just did with the world that you came from that you're going back to? And we're challenging that. How do you instill the values of an organization that whose values aren't reflected largely in your society? Good question, right? How do you retrain that? That's the leadership conundrum of the Marine Corps these days. Now, some kids still get it. The majority do not. All right. We're gonna do some news now. Again, remember we talked about gun violence and mental health being at the top of the list. If you want to stop gun violence, and then all the school shootings, every one of these losers is crying out for help, right? Matt, they're not losers, they're wonderful people, blah, blah, whatever, okay? And we have law enforcement officials that, guess what? They can't get it right. For whatever reason, when you look at the thing at the high school in Florida, if you can't prevent that one, then you can't prevent one. Right? Multiple calls to the FBI. Sheriff Department responded how many different times? 40-something times to the house. And that guy's got guns, and he's posting pictures on social media. Anyway, so under that broad heading, right, is this guy. And just remember, his rights to be free will trump your right to be safe. Okay? Because listen to his rap sheet. Navy vet arrested for allegedly trying to poison Mattis and the Navy's top officer. Here's a picture of a smiling guy in a white t-shirt standing in front of a height board. He is 66 inches tall. All right? A Navy veteran from Utah was arrested Wednesday in connection with packages suspected to contain ricin. Now, my understanding is that it's not ricin. It's the element that ricin is derived from, okay, which were mailed to the Pentagon and Navy leadership on Monday. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Salt Lake City confirmed to Military Times. William Clyde Allen III, 39 years old, was arrested late Wednesday, taken into custody, said U.S. Attorney's Office spokesman Melody Ridluck. A former enlisted sailor who spent 4 years in the Navy nearly two decades ago, Allen is expected to be formally charged on Friday. The envelopes of castor seeds, the base of deadly toxin, were addressed to Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis and CNO Admiral John Richardson, according to Defense Department officials. The parcels triggered alarms Monday during security screening at a mail processing center that is on the Pentagon campus but not inside the building. Allen's service record offers basic insight into his time in uniform. In October of 1998, he enlisted. He left the service 4 years later at the rank of E2, according to a record provided by Navy officials. Okay, in a day and age when make and rank is not difficult, when you spend 4 years in the United States Navy and you come out as an E2, that means you've got problems. He was his damage control fireman apprentice. All right. His assignments include 17 months aboard the combat support supply ship and about 15 months aboard the support ship Detroit. Before that, he attended Damage Control A school, a naval station training Great Lakes. I want to get to the part that talks about his record. And I must have seen that on the Associated Press. And my understanding was that the White House also got a letter, and the White House had alerted the Pentagon that there were that they had received something. Let's see. 2 years after his Navy tenure ended, he was charged with child sex abuse involving two girls he had an unspecified relationship of trust with, according to court documents. He later pled guilty to a lesser neglect and abuse charge, did not have to register as a sex offender. The same year, again, this is 2003, a woman filed a protective order against him in a separate case. He disputed her allegation, the details of which are not public, but agreed to a protective order. In 2008, he pled guilty to attempted aggravated assault and served about 2.5 years in prison. So he gets out in 2011. New charges are expected to be filed this week. So, yeah, he's that guy. So, what do you do with somebody who's a habitual criminal in our society? Anyway, so you have that going for you. And so, he in the news today. You know what? And in terms of as threats go, pretty lame, not really serious, more mentally disturbed than a problem, than a security issue. So, yeah, there you have it. Here's another story: a 2018 RAND report on health promotion and disease prevention has painted a grim picture of today's physical fitness and sleep standards. A study featuring roughly 18,000 randomly selected participants across each of the branches showed that almost 66% of the service members are considered to be either overweight or obese, based on the military's use of body mass index as a measuring standard. While the number of overweight service members is a cause for concern, it correlates with the obesity epidemic plaguing the United States, where as of 2015, 1 in 3 young adults are considered too fat to enlist, creating a difficult environment for recruiters to find suitable candidates for military service. Broken down by service, the 2018 report lists the Army as the branch accounting for the highest percentage of overweight troops, with 69.4% of soldiers falling into this category. The Army was followed by the Coast Guard, 67.8%, the Navy, 64.6%, the Air Force, 63%, and the Marine Corps was 60.9%. Another glaring area of concern in the study was the inability of service members to get adequate sleep. Nearly 9% of military personnel reported taking sleep medications either daily or almost daily. The Army reported the highest rate of sleep concerns with 10.6, Marines 9.9, Airmen 7.5, Sailors 6%. Sailors, they can sleep. Yeah. So, we're fatter and we're sleeping less. Nice. Nice. So we have that going for us. Another story is by Leo Shane. Advocates call for a renewed national conversation on veteran suicide. Wednesday, Melissa Bryant said that 5,520 flags placed along the National Mall Wednesday represented the toll of veteran suicide this year alone, more than just a visual reminder of the scope of the problem. When we came out here this morning to plant these flags, every one of us had a friend or family member in mind, said Bryant, Chief Policy Officer for Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Some of us standing here could have been one of these flags, but for an intervention. Last month, VA officials released new data that showed an overall rate of suicide among veterans has held steady around 20 a day for roughly a decade. But researchers are seeing a troubling increase in the rate of younger veterans taking their lives. Right? And the story behind that was suicide rate for younger veterans increased more than 10%. The overall number might have held steady, but there were losses in other categories, and younger veterans increasing. Those realities come despite a concerned push in recent years by policymakers who have increased crisis intervention and mental health treatment resources for veterans. So when you talk about suicide statistics, the question is, compare that to the overall population. If the overall population is increasing, then you can see it's not a veteran issue, right? It's a generational issue, probably. To me, these suicide statistics have to be footnoted. I learned this in economics. So when you're talking about marginal changes, you got to compare that to something. So these categories, and even for older categories of veterans, is veteran suicide higher than, equal to, or below the rate of their peer group that is civilians? And so, and then what is, civilian suicide rates, United States. A recent analysis found the suicide rate among veterans of about 30 per 100,000 of the population per year. That's wrong. It's 20. All right? Compared with civilian rate of 14 per 100,000. The comparison was not adjusted for age or sex. This is what I want. So, it's called Smart Guy. Suicide rates among active duty service members compared with civilian counterparts 2005-2015. Author, Heitkamp, study find. Kind of interesting. Study period, 1980 to 1992, finding military rates varied by branch of service from 11.0 to 13.65 per 100,000. Military rates, half of civilian rates for males, slightly lower than civilian rates for females. How about that? Okay, let me read that again. They varied by branch from 11 to 13.6 per 100,000. Military rates, half of civilian rates for males. What? So, statistical context, okay? So, slightly lower than civilian rates for females. Okay, here's another study from 1980 to 1992. Military rates consistently lower than civilian rates. Interesting. Here's another study by somebody named Eaton from 1990 to 2000, so a 10-year period. Unadjusted military rates similar to civilian rates, but 25 to 30% lower than civilian rates after adjustment for age and sex. All right, here's a study, 1998 to 2011, military rates lower than civilian rates after adjusting for age. Here's another study, 2005 to 2011, military rates higher than civilian rates, but included only enlisted members who have higher suicide rates than officers and did not adjust for age or sex differences between the military and the civilian population. So, when you look at these studies, the footnotes are important. Okay. Figure 1 shows the annual suicide rates, an entire AC population. I'm not sure what AC means. Compared to the civilian population. Both before and after adjusting for age and sex, unadjusted AC suicide rates have been significantly higher than civilian rates since 2009. However, age and sex-adjusted AC rates, AC suicide rates, have been either lower than or comparable to civilian rates from 2005 to 2014, with a gradual trend of increasing in comparison to the civilian population to 2005 to 2009. Okay, so that's the kind of statistical data that you need, okay? That's the kind of data that you need. I know it's boring. I know it's boring. Okay, so what it shows is active component crude rate, and then active component age and sex adjusted rate, and then the civilian crude rate. The civilian crude rate from 2005, okay, to 2014 goes from probably, I would say, 14.5 to maybe 16 or 17. The military rate goes from, this is interesting, goes from about 8. 8 to, and this is again, adjusted for age and sex, goes to almost doubling. Okay. So while the civilian rate shows marginally goes from about 14 to looks like about 16, the military rate doubles from about 8 to 16. So to me, without these adjusted numbers, too broad of a brush. Too broad of a brush. So anyway, interesting story about, you know, a national conversation about veteran suicide. Okay. And again, I think it is it gets you to a conversation about post-traumatic winning. And the things that if you don't do these things, and especially for those people who have underlying, like the guy who dropped out of the Maris race in Kansas City, right? That guy's got some serious structural mental health issues, right? You might be affected by post-traumatic stress disorder, but how do we deal with that when we can't get past your depression? So, significant stuff, right? Stephanie Keegan, whose son Daniel served in Afghanistan but died in 2016 because of delays in receiving treatment for his post-traumatic stress disorder, said she was grateful to share her family's struggles with those visitors. "It absolutely makes a difference," she said. "Not enough people understand the problem and the consequences of our wars as a country. We need to pay more attention." So I think that too often, and I, you know what? I'll write myself a note. footnoted suicide. And we need to do a program on that. What are the trends footnoted compared with national averages and national trends? Because, again, this won't surprise you, but in journalism, you slice off a part of a study, right? And you write an article and you bomb up a headline and you've got something to talk about. Is it valid? What is the trend? I hate to get hung up on this word. What is the truth? Last pocket of ISIS fighters surrounded, according to a DOD official. U.S. troops and their local partner forces have surrounded what has been called the last pocket of ISIS resistance, according to military officials involved in the campaign. The final push, known as Operation Roundup, and it is in its third week. It is occurring in the middle Euphrates River Valley, otherwise known as the MERV, close to the Iraq-Syrian border. Quote, as ISIS retreats, they're employing improvised explosive devices along routes and booby-trapping houses to inflict casualties on Syrian Defense Force fighters as they clear through the area, according to Colonel Sean Ryan, who's an Operation Inherent Resolve spokesman. Additionally, last week, ISIS fired a barrage of indirect mortar fire near coalition and partner forces in a likely attempt to distract the SDF's operation, blah, 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 blah. So, squeezing a zit. More than 700 fleeing ISIS militants, not counting women and children, have been captured, according to Ryan. He said there are between 1,000 and 2,000 ISIS fighters remaining in the middle Euphrates River Valley. It's important to remember that a military defeat requires a sustainable security structure to prevent the return of groups like ISIS. So, that's been the fly in the ointment, right? You eject them, and what comes behind it? Nothing? You're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. We're going to take another break. We'll come back. We'll continue. There's a few other news stories, and then I want to talk about the Jeff Flake video. And I wanted to talk about the people that took that video. And I want to talk about one of the things you learned in Iraq was nothing was the way it appeared. And so I read a story about the people that did the choreography for that video. And so who did that? Is that a choreographed event? How did that camera happen to be there? How did they catch him in an elevator? All right. Who are those people? Was it something that just randomly happened? Or is it something that's choreographed for a very specific purpose? And so as I was reading about this, the part of my brain that isn't controlled said, this is just like Iraq. If you watch that video, you think it's a woman confronting him. But it's not. It's the executive director of a group who staged this for effect. And the thought, when I was reading it, I thought, you know what? It's just like Iraq. The reason you're seeing this is that somebody wants you to see this. And now in the United States, everything you see like this, it's staged. It's staged. It's staged to go viral. It's staged to have an impact. And I thought, wow. We're now no different from what happens in Iraq. That's a pleasant thought, eh? Maybe not. All right. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
This is a good bumper. It's got a long lead in. John Waite. About 20 seconds, I think. Before the vocals start. Which makes a good bumper. And I'm still standing here, and you're miles away. And I'm wondering why you're at. And there's a storm that's raging through my frozen heart tonight. I hear your name in certain circles, and it always makes me smile. I spend my time. We continue with the news. Yeah, there's a bunch of things here. All right. Enough of that. But that's what makes a good bumper, just so you know when you start your own radio show. No, that's how you know. More than 7,000 Marines could get the boot, and it may be sooner than they expect. What? The Corps just pushed out its guidance on the Defense Department's new deployer get-out policy, aimed at boosting readiness and lethality by booting out service members who have been non-deployable for 12 months. But Marines shouldn't expect to have the full 12 months to whoop themselves back into deployable shape. In a force-wide message posted on Wednesday, that would have been yesterday, the Marine Corps says it can start administrative or disability separation procedures before the 12-month mark. Quote, Initiation of administrative or disability separation processing may occur prior to a Marine being in a non-deployable status for 12 months when a commanding officer determines there is a reasonable expectation that the reason will not be resolved and the Marine will not become deployable, the MAR admin reads. Thank God. All right. Send them home. Only about 4% of the Marine Corps' 7,458 active duty Marines, excluding trainees and transient personnel, were considered non-deployable as of August 31st, 2018, according to Thomas Craig, a spokesman for Manpower and Reserve Affairs. The figure includes temporary and permanent non-deployable Marines. The reason for their non-deployable status varies, Craig said. Yeah, you should see that list. But most of them are medically related with temporary non-deployable illnesses or injuries. Our focus is to help these Marines heal as quickly as possible so they can get back to training with their unit. But another group, those permanently non-deployable and pending disability evaluations, the Corps' goal is to seek a timely disability decision in coordination with the Department of Veterans Affairs and the Department of Defense and help transition the member to life outside the Marine Corps. So, again, clean out the pipe. Get them out. Right? And it's amazing how many people you cross paths with in the military that, they cannot deploy. Footnoted them. Here's an email. It's entitled Footnoted Veteran Suicide. Finally. You know, Mac, you can seal some of your intellect behind your jackassery, but I do enjoy when you go intellectual at times. I do believe your approach to suicide is the exact way. Statistics can be meant to say anything, and as you said, often serve as cannon fodder for somebody's decision to write an article on that particular day. However, unless you broaden the context of the discussion, unless you expand the lens and you give it some kind of statistical context, the numbers mean nothing. Looking forward to hearing what you find out. Simply layering veteran suicide over civilian suicide adjusted for age and gender is a huge step in the right direction. Doesn't seem like we get that. No. You know, as much as I would didn't enjoy economics after I chose it as a major in college. It did teach me a lot. It taught me a lot about thinking through problems, looking at a problem and, you know, blowing out an assumption and then looking at it from a different angle. So it served me in good stead in my life. So I will endeavor to track that down. Early bird top stories. Navy vet arrested for allegedly trying to poison Mattis and the Navy's top officer. Now, the story leaves out the President of the United States. And I believe that the Pentagon was alerted by the Secret Service, who intercepted something headed to the White House. Love this. Headline, Navy proposing major show of force to warn China. You mean America stands up on its hind feet, as Grant Newsham would say? What is going on? The U.S. Navy's Pacific Fleet has drawn up a classified proposal to carry out a global show of force as a warning to China and to demonstrate the U.S. is prepared to deter and counter their military actions, according to several U.S. defense officials. The draft proposal from the Navy is recommending the U.S. Pacific Fleet conduct a series of operations during a single week in November. The goal is to carry out a highly focused and concentrated set of exercises involving U.S. warships, combat aircraft, and troops to demonstrate that the U.S. can counter potential adversaries quickly on several fronts. The plan suggests sailing ships and flying aircraft near China's territorial waters in the South China Sea and the Taiwan Straits in freedom of navigation operations to demonstrate the right of freedom of passage in international waters. The proposal means U.S. ships and aircraft would operate close to Chinese forces. The defense officials emphasize that there is no intention to engage in combat with the Chinese. There's a picture, right? This is an article that's on CNN. I know, gives me the heebie-jeebies just looking at their logo. But it shows, it's an aerial image of how close a Chinese warship came to an American warship. Aerial photos taken by a U.S. Navy aircraft show how close a Navy ship came to colliding with a Chinese warship that had challenged the U.S. vessel's presence in the South China Sea. The guided missile destroyer USS Decatur was performing a freedom of navigation operation on Sunday, sailing close to Chinese-claimed territorial reefs in the Spratly Islands when it was approached by the Chinese destroyer Lanzhou. You know who one of my favorite senators is becoming? Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham, when he goes off, it's a sight to behold. And he's doing that right now. Hold on.
The FBI did a supplemental background check consistent with the request of three senators. It was 10 witnesses to add to the 146. That's the process. It will never be enough. If you don't believe he's a gang rapist, if you don't believe he's a stumbling, bumbling, drunk, serial sexual predator, maybe you'll believe he lied about how much he drank in high school, that he threw ice in a party, in a bar, or he doesn't have the temperament, that he didn't handle being destroyed well. Enough already. Let's vote.
Do you believe he's
Thank you.
Lindsey Graham, I love that shit, clicking off safe. Bullshit. It's a big bullshit show. Right? It's a big bullshit show. So, anyway. So there's a picture of this Chinese vessel right next to an American. Within feet. 45 feet, I guess. So, which is not much when you're operating warships that are like, I don't know how many tons that each one of them are. So, playing chicken is, and if you recall, there's a great picture, I'll talk about it in a second. If you recall video from a few years ago when an American warship was in a Black Sea, and a Russian ship came up and got right next to it and started bashing it. Russian Navy, Black Sea, collision, colliding, U.S. Navy. Yeah, this is in February 1988. This is crazy shit. I mean, come on. It involves the Russians. Hello. Right? It involves the Russians. And so the video taken by probably one of the sailors on the ship. So what happens is it shows this Russian destroyer coming up along the aft end, along the port side, that would be the left side, and the Russian ship slowly but surely closes in on the American ship. And it's like playing chicken when you were in high school on your bike, right? And it runs into the American ship. And then the American ship continues. The Russian ship kind of lists to their port side. The stupid part is you have sailors walking around the back. You know, like, at some point, aren't you supposed to go to general quarters if somebody's running into your ship? Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing footage. playing chicken with warships. And then they do it again. Come right up next to it. And then nudge your ship. The Russians. Can't make it up. Yeah, check it out. 1988. Alright. Top 5 stories in Early Bird. So I would love to see a major show of force in China. Let me just tell you, if you don't confront totalitarians, right, in sheep's clothing, you're only delaying it, right? And the United States need to call China out, needs to put them in their box, right? And I'm going to get to another story here in a second that is making waves around the world, right, that is simply calling a spade a spade. Finally, we want to pretend that Russia and China aren't menaces to the free world. Why? So we can do business with them, because there's a lot of money to be made. Well, we'll do business on certain conditions. And if you won't do that, you're stupid. So number 2 story was Navy proposing major show of force to warn China. Number 3, last pocket of ISIS fighters is surrounded. We talked about that. Number 4, can the U.S. fight 2 big wars at once? New report cast doubt. Well, you know, we got away from this doctrine. It was a doctrine for post-war design of the American military. But we kind of been tweaking this thing. Well, maybe not 2. Maybe 1.5. Truth is, maybe 1. Yeah, got to spend the money. Got to spend the money and invest in the force. If you don't want to do that, and again, when most of your aircraft can't get into the air, you're not spending the money. Okay? You're not spending the money. And so at some point you're going to get what you get. And, you know, again, if and that's us. Okay? That's us. Think about the United Kingdom, right? Think about all the marginal players that are supposed to contribute something. They're a joke. They're an absolute joke, right? The patron saint of them all is Germany, who's disarmed its own country. So whatever. And then number 5 story in the Early Bird: are a staggering number of troops are fat and tired, report says. Again, are you okay? Are you okay, princess? Are you okay, sunshine? Come here. It's okay. Yeah, it's a problem. A culture, a self-absorbed culture that ultimately will destroy itself. Is that the road that we're on? Here's the story that I'm talking about. When I'm talking about calling a spade a spade. U.S. to offer cyber war capabilities to NATO allies. Brussels, that's the home of NATO, acting to counter Russia's aggressive use of cyber attacks across Europe and around the world, the U.S. is expected to announce that, if asked, it will use its formidable cyber warfare capabilities on NATO's behalf, according to a senior U.S. official. The announcement is expected in the coming days as U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis attends a meeting of NATO defense ministers on Wednesday and Thursday. Katie Wheelbarger, the principal deputy assistant defense secretary for international security affairs, said the U.S. is committing to use offensive and defensive cyber operations for NATO allies, but America will maintain control over its own personnel and capabilities. The decision comes on the heels of the NATO summit in July when members agreed to allow the alliance to use cyber capabilities that were provided voluntarily by allies to protect networks and respond to cyber attacks. It reflects growing concerns by the U.S. and its allies over Moscow's use of cyber operations to influence elections in America and elsewhere. At what point, right, do these complaints take some kind of solid footing? What has to happen? So that's the question. How long do you play this stupid game with Russia where we like act like they're not committing acts of war by, for instance, Russian activity in the United States is greater than it ever has been, and it's always been here. But by virtue of aggressive cyber warfare tools, which they then deny that they're using, right, they meddle in everybody's business around the world. So it's at what point, right, at what point do you make them pay for that? At what point do you make them pay for that? Related story, all right? This is a story 54 minutes old by the Associated Press. U.S. charges 7 Russian intelligence officers as West condemns military spy agency. This is Dateline Brussels. The U.S. I should put the typewriter music on. The U.S. Department of Justice on Thursday announced that 7 Russian intelligence officers have been charged with hacking anti-doping agencies and other organizations hours after Western officials leveled new accusations against Moscow's secretive GRU military spy agency. Hours before the U.S. indictment was announced, Western nations accused the GRU of new cybercrimes, with Dutch and British officials labeling the intelligence agency brazen for allegedly targeting the International Chemical Weapons Watchdog and the investigations into the 2014 downing of a Malaysian Airlines flight over the Ukraine. The U.S. indictment said the GRU targeted its victims because they had publicly supported a ban on Russian athletes in international sports competitions, and because they had condemned Russian state-sponsored athletes' doping program. So at what point do they pay a price? And again, life without consequences. If you don't make them pay a price, then you're going to get what you're going to get. So it's about time that the West respond, right? And stop playing stupid games with the Russians, okay? Can you imagine the Russians, how they laugh when they talk about this stuff? Oh my God. Listen to this. So, this There's another story about budgeting, but I want to talk about Jeff Flake before the Gunner comes on. So I think if you haven't seen the video, this is the video, okay? Stand by. So, Senator Jeff Flake, right from Arizona, Republican, one of the guys who was responsible for this extra FBI investigation, right, that according to Mitch McConnell, and who's the Senate Judiciary Chairman, Chuck Grassley, they say there's absolutely no new information included in this report. Now, I'm sure the Democrats will say it's inadequate because that's the game we're playing these days. So, anyway. The scene is Senator Flake getting in an elevator. He's then confronted by two women who hold the elevator door open as people videotape. And the woman is beseeching him, telling, and you'll hear for herself. The woman's name is Anna Maria Archila, 39 years old. She is the co-executive director of the Center for Popular Democracy. And so they essentially ambush him on camera. And I'll play the audio, and then we'll talk about the my thoughts when I read more about who they were, and it's not just a casual encounter, it's not just a citizen, it's somebody in an organization with an agenda, and my thought about it being so similar to what you see in Iraq, and that is nothing is as it appears, and that you should question everything that you see. Who did that? Where does it come from? Blah, 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 blah. And I, you know, so here's Jeff Flake.
FBI to investigate the sexual assault accusation before he makes a decision on the final vote. Earlier today, Senator Flake had said he would vote to him in...
Okay, so here it is.
Look at me when I'm talking to you. You're telling me that my assault doesn't matter. That what happened to me doesn't matter. And that you're going to let people who do these things into power. That's what you're telling me when you vote for him.
All right. That's all set up. All right. 3 days earlier, all right, Mitch McConnell got the same treatment. Okay, so so what's interesting is that, you know, the organization she's part of is funded in part by Democratic contributors, right? And so you see something like that, and it went viral, right? This woman confronting Jeff Flake, right? Somebody holding the door. Somebody happened to videotape it. And then all of a sudden somebody pulls the string on it like, okay, who are these people? And then you find out that it's not citizens. Okay? It's not simply citizens. It is people with agendas who use social media as a weapon. So I think the lesson to all of us is it's not what it seems. Okay? It's not what it seems. And as I watched that thought just popped into my head. This is like Iraq. If you're seeing it, it's because they want you to see it. They're painting a picture for you so that you'll behave a certain way. And as you begin to behave that way, they're going to do something to use that against you. They're going to somehow or other use that as a setup piece to kill you. That's how it worked in Iraq. If you're seeing it, it's because they want you to see it. If you're seeing that this street looks normal, they've orchestrated that. They've orchestrated it for a reason. And so I guess that now, after watching these things, and all, then you read about who these people are, and it's like, oh, damn, I didn't know that. The whole thing's a setup. The whole thing's a setup. So again, it's just in the consumption of news and these things that go viral. Again, it best to be a skeptic. Who's doing it? Where did it come from? Blah, 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 blah. So, and again, I think what we have now is we have dueling, you know, political parties, dueling for power of the American government, power over the Supreme Court. They have news organizations that takes their messages to the American people, so they have top cover on that side. And again, how did you get Donald Trump? You got Donald Trump because he was better at playing that game and tapping into that than anybody. Now we'll see what happens in the upcoming election. But I've now, you watch him, and even the other night when he supposedly ridiculed her, what he did was he pointed out the inconsistencies in what she said. And so this particular issue, right, control over the Supreme Court wrapped in the Me Too issue. Interesting. You see panels now, you know, young men in America, how hard it is to be a young man in America. You know, I don't think it is, right? You treat people with respect, to include women. Somebody got to teach you that, though. Somebody's got to have a standard in your household. Somebody's got to teach you what no means. But again, in a world with no consequences and no standards, what do young people do? They do what they want. I'll send you whatever pictures I want to send. Well, okay, but are you sure you want to share that with somebody? Why? Because I sent that, does that mean that he gets to send it to everybody else? Well, it really doesn't, but maybe you don't send that. Like, are you victim shaming? No, I'm just saying that, do you honestly believe if you send that, it's going to stay with him? So, again, we live in unsettled times. Should you forward a picture like that? Absolutely not. But in the standardless world that we live in, where young people are driven to be famous for no particular reason, where that's what's prized in our culture, and the thought of being like Jack Riley isn't, I mean, that should be terrifying for all of us. But we live in this world where this fight goes on a daily basis. And again, all of a sudden, Me Too butts up against the scales of justice. Me Too. Got it. She should be taken seriously. She should be taken seriously. What happens when her accusation bumps into the scales of justice, and there's some level of proof that's required, and there is none. What happens? What happens to him? Should his life be destroyed? The answer to that is no, of course not. We have a system. You're innocent until proven guilty. At least you used to be. I don't think that's the case anymore. So, and it plays out in public. But again, my point is this. That video, pretty amazing to me, in that as I watched it, the first time I saw it, I was like, man, Flake doesn't handle that very well. He stands there with his, like, it looks like he's just eaten like a stale rodent. He's got this look on his face. Like a four-day-old beaver that was laying on a street. He decided to eat it. And now he's standing there with this look on his face like, I shouldn't have eaten that four-day-old roadkill. I wish Granny would have served it to me. He's just standing there. You're a United States Senator. If she wants to talk, right? If she wants to talk, let's go to my office. I'll be happy to talk to you. If you want to create your own viral minute, then let me excuse myself. I'm not going to stand here and be a part of your media campaign. And that's what it was. Make no mistake about it. It was not a coincidence that. And the question is, why doesn't it happen more often? So it'll be interesting what guys like Flake do. If the FBI reports out that there is no, and again, Lindsey Graham, we're now to the point where we're investigating that he threw ice in a bar? Come on. Honestly, it's ridiculous. And what was the other one? That he might have drank more than he said he did in college? Is that? So, I don't know. It's just stupid. All right, we'll take a break. Gunner standing by. Yeah, he's early today. Let's go figure. So we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up on your home for it. The All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.